I was told Johnny Pastore had to come in the next office. Excuse me.
I'll take only a minute. I had a very good greeting by Secretary Russell this morning.
Yes, he did.
Up at New York, and then I just went over and had a half hour with the general, and he's the longest visit he has. He just looks great.
Didn't he? I was so pleased. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, you saw him, and he just looked great. He was talking about everything.
To tell you what he tried to do to me?
No.
Well, now you must not tell this.
No, I won't. Deep secret.
He said that he thought what we were doing was absolutely right, just to hold to it and not to give an inch. And we got through talking about Vietnam, and he said, you know what happened? I said, no. He said, Mamie came in here a while ago and said that she's going to put on a robe. While you listen to me, she's going to go down and put a Nixon sticker on your car.
Yeah. Well, he told me the same thing.
So he was just as gay as he could be, and I thought that that devilment and that teasing was good for him.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's a miracle that he did it. And doggone it, he wore a little blue robe that they put on, you know, said he might look like a hospital pallor, you know, and kidding about it. So when you can kid about yourself, you feel better.
Well, Rusk was very pleased. I had three little things I thought you might be interested in. I got a note from General Ginsburg, who is advisor of the Security Council. He said, how fast is time running out on negotiations? On the basis of experience in Geneva in 1954, we can conclude that it need not take a long time to negotiate a settlement. The Indochina phase of Geneva Conference lasted May the 8th, July 6th. To July 21, 74 days. That's 74 days from November 6th to January 19th. And 54 productive discussions did not really start until June 16th, when the issue of representation was finally solved. On the basis of their reading of history, Hanoi may have concluded they can arrive at a settlement, even if they wait until after the election to start talking seriously. Now, so much for that. That's just a little tidbit. I thought that little research on Geneva that might be interesting, but I told Vance today, I don't think they're going to do anything for the election. I think they read all these statements and they see the times, and I just don't much believe if I could buy the Evening Star for $10 million a day, and I thought I might get it for $8 million if I waited a couple of months. I just don't believe I'd do it unless I was in an awful big hurry. So my judgment is there's not going to be much movement. I have a little note here today that they came in. Lee Duck Toe says there's nothing new whatever in the statements made by Vice President Humphrey. It is still the same demand for reciprocity, which we totally reject. That's there, Elegant. I've got a good one here on Lipscomb and Laird and Clifford, but it's too long to read to you. But the net of it is that Humphrey and Laird are both completely out of the ballpark as far as we're concerned officially. We have no thought of pulling any troops out of there. It's just brought to, well, here's what Clifford says. The statement Laird points out, the United States equipment upgrades South Vietnamese personnel. South Vietnam shortly increased its draft call. Our requirements are naive. The normal course of events, September through next June, says 200,000 of our men must be rotated. He continued, and then he goes ahead and said, let's not let politicians mislead us. The strength reduction is not the kind of thing the Vice President's been offered. He's quoting now from Laird, as an HHH soft to doves or HH peace bonus. This is and has been ordinary methodical military planning. 2, Representative Laird's statement is not consistent with the facts. 2 weeks earlier, on September 10th, I testified to the committee, of which he is a member. The question was whether there would be a decrease in troops either late this year or early next year was raised by Representative Lipscomb, senior member of Republican California. The following exchange took place. Lipscomb. Upon what basis are the reports and announcements that there will be a substantial decrease in troops between either late this year or early next year? On what basis is this being made? Clifford. You mean that we could then cut the number of American troops left and return men home? Yes. Clifford, I have never said that. It has never come out from the Pentagon. We have no plan to reduce the number of troops in Vietnam at all. We had an authorized figure, 549,500. We will maintain that figure until there's some development that causes us to decide we can bring some home. I know of no statement come out of the Pentagon that says we're prepared to bring any home. I was asked the question some time ago, will you predict that in 69, Clifford, you can bring groups or some troops home? I said, no, I cannot predict that. I'm unwilling to say there's any specific time we will bring any troops back. Lipscomb, such reports are not coming out of the background briefings to press. Clifford, they're certainly not coming out of the Pentagon. Lipscomb, pure speculation then? Clifford, pure speculation. Except for one statement I noticed that President Chu of Vietnam said when he made a speech and said that he could confidently predict that American troops, some of them, could come back in the year 69. I was asked a question right after he said that, and the question was, do you agree with Chu? And I said, no, I cannot predict the troops in 69. I don't know. I would hope we can have them back, but I cannot make any prediction under present conditions. After news reports carried to September 24, Laird's statement, following the Vice President's statements, I issued a statement on September 25th. I referred to the above testimony, and I concluded that statement by saying, I want today to reiterate that position. We have not yet reached the level of 549,500 South Vietnam. We continue to build toward that level. We have no intention of lowering that level either by next June or at any time in the foreseeable future. Unquote. I have no idea where the representative received his information. I've made further inquiries in the Pentagon. I found no foundation for Representative Laird's position. I checked with General Wheeler, the chairman of the Joint Chief, and he informed me that he knows of no plan to reduce the troop level in Vietnam, either this year or in 69. Furthermore, he knows of no one else who has ever produced any such plan, nor has he ever heard of any such plan from General Abrams. Since my statement September 25th, I have seen no repetition by Mr. Laird of his statement. He has not chosen to give any explanation in his statement to inform us on what it was based. Under these circumstances, I think it's a reasonable assumption that Representative Laird did not have the facts to support his position. Now, the only reason I read that, I don't want to get in an argument with either Humphrey or Laird, but Humphrey said what he said, and Laird said what he said. So far as the President and the Secretary and the Chief are concerned, we have a level of 549,500. We're within 5 to 10,000 of that level. We're unlikely to add many more, so we won't run over that level. We don't want to run over it. But we're not going to pull out unless there is some change of which we are not aware at this moment.
Let me say that on my part, they've asked me about this thing. The reason that I would never say that they give any hope on a thing or talk about the fact that troops could come back is that it seems to me that that in itself weakens the market.
That's no question about that. None whatever.
And so I just said, well, I suppose that Laird was basing it on some information he had, but I'm glad to get this.
I just want you to see that yourself. So that you,
right.
I think it does weaken us. If they think we're getting ready to bring troops home, why, we'll continue. Now, our basis is this, and I will tell you when it's otherwise. Our basis is threefold. One, they must agree to recognize the GVN. We cannot take chance on losing this million-man army. They've got to let them come in to any talks we have on substantive matters. They have not agreed to that yet. They've also got to recognize the facts of life that we could not, if we stopped the bombing, carry out that stoppage very long if they did either of two things. If they shelled the cities, or if they had mass infiltration, and we have said that to them constantly. Now, we don't know what they're going to do. They've given us no indication. We've said that to the Russians. It's right at a stalemate now. My judgment is it'll stay that way till the election, unless they're hurting worse than we think they are, and we think they're hurting pretty bad. I rather think that before long I'll be seeing Bunker and Abrams, and I'll be brought up to date, and I'll keep you informed.
Well, the one thing I want to say is this, that my statements will continue to be, I hope, responsible. And the only reason that when I was talking to the Secretary this morning, you know, this goddamn New York Times, they had 3 dope stories in there, and the Rush told me they were all fabrications.
Yeah,
I don't know what to believe anymore, you know?
Well, The Vance story was certainly, I don't know what the others are referring to, but...
Well, the others were involved the fact that Harriman and Vance were both pushing for a bombing pause.
Yes.
And he says that's not true, and that Vance had been rushed back here.
Well, Dick, I think this is true. I think everybody's pushing for a bombing pause. I think you are. I think I am. I think everybody is.
Right deal.
That's right. But so far as I know, Vance or Harriman or... Rusk or Katzenbach or Clifford or Bundy or Johnson. Now those are Wheeler, or all the joint staffs, or Bunker or Abrams. Now as far as I'm aware, I believe every one of those men would recommend to me that we not stop bombing unless they would agree to let us take the GVN into the meeting. Now they've told us definitely they will not do that. Now we think if we did, and the GVN quit us, so we had a coup out there, that we'd just be out of business. So we just think we couldn't physically do it. We also think that they've got to understand the facts of life about these other things, about the DMZ and about shelling the cities. Now, we might, without getting an agreement from them, without getting reciprocity, if they agreed to the GVN, we'd consider that reciprocity. But we might then say to them, that we will stop the bombing on Sunday. But if Tuesday or Wednesday or any other place they shell the cities, we would have to respond to it.
Yes. Well, that makes sense, and we wish you well. We'll
keep your good humor. Keep your good humor. Don't overdo it, and you just got a month more, and I know all of you'll be happy when you get it over with, and nobody'd be happier than I am.
That's right. Well, when it's over, we'll come in, and maybe we can find a little scotch.
We will. I had a nice visit with your friend Billy Graham and with Everett, and I'll be talking to you.
All right. Good. Well, awfully good of you to take my call.
Thank you, Dick.